Welcome back to the Steve Gruber Show. I'm glad you're here for the conversation. We're going to focus for a minute on one of the pivotal events in world history, one of the pivotal events of the 20th century, the death of the 35th President of the United States, John F. Kennedy Jr. Jerome Corsi has published 25 books on economics, history, politics, including 6 New York Times bestsellers, 2 at number 1 in The Assassination of JFK, The Final Analysis, one of his latest efforts. Jerome, nice to see you again.
Steve, always great pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
All right, let me start with this. Donald Trump had promised, as president, he would release the rest of the JFK files. He didn't do it. He, like other presidents before him, didn't do it. What is in there, do you think, that Donald Trump decided we shouldn't see, that the world shouldn't know? Go ahead.
There's about 3,000 documents that have not been released. I suspect that they show that the CIA had a very strong tie with Lee Harvey Oswald, that it was not disclosed. I don't think you're going to find a document that says we did it, but you're going to find ties to Oswald, which makes the entire lie about Lee Harvey Oswald being the lone gun assassin much less credible. Now, the impact of the book that I did on with Dr. David Mantic, and why we call it the assassination of John F. Kennedy, the final analysis, is because Dr. Mantic has a PhD in physics. He's a practicing physician, MD, a radiation oncologist. He spent over 40 years analyzing X-rays for cancer patients.
Right.
He's seen the X-rays in the archives, the 3 skull X-rays from the JFK autopsy, more than anyone else, and he's conducted optical density measurements, which are scientific measurements of the amount of light coming through the X-rays. It's done with a densitometer, a little scientific instrument that measures this. And what he is able to determine is that all 3 of the JFK skull X-rays from the autopsy have been, they're not the originals, they're forged. They were altered in order to mask evidence of frontal shots. And there is clear
evidence. To mask evidence, I'm sorry, I didn't quite clearly understand. To mask evidence of what?
Frontal shots from the front.
Oh, sure.
Jack Kennedy was hit twice from the front and once from the rear, and it's obvious in the JFK X-rays. The book shows it. Even in fact, on the cover of the book, we put the skull X-ray right next to the Zapruder film, and the blue arrow, which was a shot right to the right forehead at the hairline, you can actually see the bullet breaking up in the skull and a bullet track that goes from the front of this of the head to the back. It does not exit. The largest fragment on that shot is in the rear.
And you can see that in the X-ray.
You can see it very clearly in the X-ray.
In the original X-ray. Now let me ask you something. You said the X-rays that have been put forth are forged. How did you get original X-rays?
Well, the original X-rays were gone. There's 3 X-rays in the National Archives. You've got to get permission of the Kennedy family to see them. Mantic had that permission. He did it in the early 90s. He's been writing about this very scientifically. What I wanted to engage with him is to write a book that everybody could read. Now, the X-rays are JFK's X-rays because the dental records match a pre-mortem skull X-ray that Kennedy had done that is in the JFK Presidential Library in Boston. But the 3 shots, especially this one to the forehead, you can actually see the bullet trail going across the top of the head, and it doesn't exit. Largest fragment in the back. And it's undeniable that it's there because of the measurements are precise and it's visually apparent. The second shot hit in the temple, right in the temporal bone by the right ear, and it blew out the right back of JFK's head. And a massive blowout that hit the debris from that shot. That's when Jack Kennedy was thrown violently back into the left. The shot debris went to the left. It was a shooter on the grassy knoll. And the third shot that hit Jack Kennedy was a low angle shot to the back of his head.
But that was the first shot, right?
That was the first shot of Jack Kennedy's head starting to move forward. And then about 2 seconds later, he gets this massive shot here, which shows him right violently back. The debris goes behind him. It hits Clint Hill, who's the Secret Service agent trying to get on the limousine.
Right.
And the left rear motorcycle officer, Bobby Hargis, gets debris from that shot scattered to him. He thought he was hit, and a fragment from Jack Kennedy's skull, the Harper fragment, flies on the grass on the opposite side of the grassy knoll. And these shots are apparent.
And then the third shot, is it the hairline or what's left of the hairline? I'm confused.
Yeah, probably simultaneously, this shot and the ear shot. I mean, those two are hard to tell which came first.
Right.
The one in the back of the head came first because the Harper fragment has evidence both of an entrance wound and also of a blowout. It's blown out of the back of the head. So it's evidence of both a frontal shot from a rear shot and a frontal shot from the grassy knoll. And so therefore, the scientific measurement of this shows that from the moment the assassination happened, when the limousine got to Parkland Hospital, they offloaded John Kennedy and John Connolly, both shot, into the Parkland Hospital emergency room. The Secret Service got buckets of water and started washing down the blood damage in the back seat. You can see it on a film. They're destroying the crime scene. Various witnesses saw a puncture wound of a shot through the windshield. That's the one that hit Jack Kennedy in the throat. That was the first shot.
And it exited in the windshield, is what you're saying, because that one came from behind, right?
No, it came from the front. It was a frontal shot.
The shot that hit him in the throat came from the front.
Yeah, from the front.
Okay, and my confusion. Let me ask you this at this point in the conversation, and I'm sure you're in this book in the final analysis. Did Lee Harvey Oswald fire any rounds?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. Certainly, the rounds that hit the head, none of them came from the sixth floor of the Texas School Depository. It looks like there are three shooters that the head wounds clearly designate. One would be the grassy knoll. Certainly, that shot that hit in the temple and blew out the back of the head was grassy knoll. One was from the Daltex building behind, low angle, behind Jack Kennedy. That hit the back of the head by the knob in the back of the head and blew out much of the front. And then the third shot, the windshield shot, would be a shooter on the south side of Dealey Plaza, opposite the grassy knoll, the triple underpass, highways going both ways.
Sure, but wouldn't that have, naysayers would say, wouldn't that have shattered the windshield?
No. When you shoot a bullet through a windshield, it punctures in safety glass.
Right.
And it bevels on the outside. Bevels on the outside. So this hit a frontal shot to a windshield. The surface of the windshield on the outside will be smooth. On the in, and it'll be just like a pencil mark.
Right.
It'll sound like a firecracker. And on the inside, the glass will bevel and fly out inside the car.
Gotcha.
And that's what happened. That's what was seen in Parkland by bystanders immediately.
So let me ask you this. And people, in order to get all the answers here from Jerome Corsi, you're going to have to read the book. But the Secret Service starts watching the limousine at Parkland.
Right.
Not because they're in on it, but because they don't want, they are mortified as to what's happened, right? Are you saying they're in on it? Because I'm guessing not, but you tell me.
Well, they're in on it because they also, the body is, when it's Jack Kennedy's pronounced dead, the mortician is there from Dallas to do the autopsy. The Secret
and they
Service,
refuse him access. I know that. They say absolutely not.
At gunpoint. Justice of the Peace and the mortician at gunpoint.
Right. There were local Service police and Secret Service pointing guns at each other, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, it was but basically Secret Service pointing pistols at this mortician and this Justice of the Peace. No one else had guns in that
particular
hospital.
Room. Right.
Right. No.
So they took John Kennedy's body. Which broke Texas law, right?
That's right. It broke Texas law. Yeah. And by the way, there's a problem because the Parkland doctors come out with a press conference and they say Jack Kennedy was shot from the front. They say he was hit. This was the wound in the throat was a puncture wound. That was a shot from the front. Back of the head was blown out. They all saw it and it was clear. That's an exit wound. So within a couple of hours after the assassination, the doctors held a press conference. They say he was shot from the front. But the problem was that a photographer from the AP named Altgens took a photograph. He was standing in front of the limousine when Jack Kennedy was shot in the throat. You can see Jack Kennedy raising his arms up to his throat through the windshield, and behind Jack Kennedy is the Texas School Book Depository. Now, if Oswald was in the Texas School Book Depository sixth floor and he was the shooter, there could be no frontal shots. They all had to come from the back.
No, the angle would be completely wrong.
And the angle would be wrong.
Yeah, the angle would be completely wrong. The book is The Assassination of JFK, The Final Analysis. The author here is Jerome Corsi, who's had a number of number one books on the New York Times bestseller list. He's gone deep here and looked at the skull x-rays and so forth of the 35th president. You can decide for yourself. Pick up a copy of the book again, The Assassination of JFK, The Final Analysis. Easy for me to say. Jerome Corsi, stick tight for a second. This is the Steve Gerber Show.